So in 1 Corinthians this morning, it's Super Bowl Sunday, isn't it?
Yep.
All right, we got two people that are into it. for chapter 1, the Patriots and the Rams. Very cool. Haven't watched the game for a very long time. It's a couple of years, actually. You know, the Corinthian church was a difficult church. If you think about it, if you read the book of Corinthians, they had all kinds of problems, right? I mean, these guys were really into stuff. And they were very zealous people, but they were a pain in the neck. I mean, this is not a church that you would want to walk into and say, oh, I'd really want to be here. At least it doesn't read that way to me. Now, maybe to somebody else, it's the perfect church. I don't know. But you get to see the contrast when you read the book of Corinthians, 1 and 2, because you get to see what God says about them, and yet you read the chapters that they got problem after problem after problem after problem. And I mean, they're doing the manifestations, but no love. They don't care about one the other people around them. They just care about themselves and looking good. All right? Some guy is sleeping with his father's wife. You know, the son is sleeping with his father's wife. And the church thinks, ah, that's okay. Then there's divisions among them, right? All kinds of stuff. We're gonna give so much, and then tell everybody they're gonna give so much in the abundance, and then never come across. Yeah, there's so many. They don't believe the resurrection's working anymore. It's past. There are so many things. It's encouraging to me. Because I look at our church, right? And to my knowledge, compared to the Corinthian church, we're in really good shape. And yet you watch God's love and you watch God's mercy and Him fighting for people who are in all different kinds of doctrinal and practical places that they shouldn't be. In the first chapter of 1 Corinthians, and I want to read, you know, this thing, quite a bit of reading and not just so much talking at the moment until I get to the places. Paul called to be an apostle. He was called to be a sent one. That's what apostle means. He's a sent one. God gave him a job. He's a sent one of Jesus Christ through the will of God and to Silothius, our brother. Unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, you are called to be saints with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything you are enriched in Him, in all utterance, in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, let's start talking. Look at those verses. the richness, the love, the word that they have, the fellowship that they have with the God and the Lord Jesus Christ. They come behind in no gift. They are blessed. Grace be unto you. This is not, give me a bat and let me beat these people over the head. He's going to reprove all of their shortcomings and sins and doctrinal errors. He's going to. He's going to hit them hard. But this is their place. You may be a fool in your life in certain places in your life. If you don't think so, you are a fool. That's the one thing I've learned in life. People who think that they're so super righteous are probably the dumbest of all. Because there's nobody. Those are the ones that, and I don't think I need to say I'm sorry. And yet, the only perfect person was Christ. Look at the grace. Look at the love. Look at the outpouring. Look at the prayers. This is where every believer, sinner and righteous, part right, half right, quarter right, whatever you want to call, this is the way God lays it out for you and me. Grace and peace be unto you. You come behind in nothing. You've been held back from nothing. You have everything that Jesus did for you. You are complete, full in him. Now, walk. So he says to them, now I beseech you in verse 10, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, and that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it hath been declared unto me, of you, my brethren, by them that are of the house of Chloe, you know, over there at that fellowship, that there are contentions among you. Now, this I say, that every one of you saith, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Cephas, I'm of Christ. Cephas is Peter. I'm of Christ. So you got, oh, hey, this fellowship, they're all, Paul is like the greatest thing that ever walked the face of the earth. Peter over here is, it's, I mean, he's the original. You got to listen to Peter, man. He's the top dog. How about, you know, there's just people who say, what the heck with all them? And it says, I just got the Lord. And then they're fighting amongst one another with this. And Apollos, we throw him in there because he was one of the originals that came to Corinth. Now I say this, verse 12, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, I am of Apollos, I am of Cephas, I am of Christ. Is Christ divided? That's the question he's putting to them. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank my God that I baptized none of you but Caiaphas and Gaius, lest any should say that I have baptized in my own name. And I baptized also the household of Stephanas. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any other. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with words of with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. There is a contention among them, who's the best preacher? And if you know anything about Scripture, and I'm just going to suppose that I've been doing this for a while with you all, and you should know this much. Men are just simply men. All right? Each and every one of us is a minister of the Lord. Every single one of us has got weaknesses, faults, this, that, and the other thing. Some are more disciplined than others, others less. Whenever you speak the word, it's the word, it's the gospel that brings deliverance to an individual, not you. You're just you. And without the word, nobody would pay attention to you, except your mom. You know what I mean? You know, it's like that Rodney Dangerfield joke, you know. When I was a kid, I was so ugly that my mother had to wrap a pork chop around my neck to get the dog to play with me. You remember that one? It's one of those brain things. I mean, we're just human beings. We are flawed in so many ways. And yet, you get to speak as a minister. Every minister gets to speak. And it's not the wisdom of this world or the wisdom of your life or your background or where you came from or who you are or how educated or how lack of educated you are. There's no glory in any of those things. The glory is in the wisdom of the Word of God and Jesus Christ on the cross, which is a stumbling block to all those who think that they're really super smart. I got a woman that was in our church for a long time. I loved her, you know. But she left because she just thought it was the worst thing she ever heard that God sent his son to be killed and butchered on a cross. And that was just unacceptable to have a child die for somebody else. And she's gone. She's been gone for years, but still pray for her. Who the hell do you think you are to think that way? I'm going to leave that on the tape. Who does anyone think that they are to judge God, the creator of the heavens and the earth? Or who is it that we should think that this one is less or this one is more or this one is weak and this one is strong amongst ourselves in this family that we have? We are all floored. We're all weird. I mean, just think of all the different... We all needed a pork chop around our head. Just so we could attract the dog, you know what I mean? I don't know. We're just human beings. For people, and people do this all the time. They do this because they love stars, right? We got them on TV, we got them religiously, we got them entertainment wise, we got movies, we love and think that they're special. They definitely got their gift, all right? They've honed their craft. They're excellent at what they do, but they're just people. Well, God never put the minister above anyone else in the church. Paul's like, hey, Christ died for me. He died for you. I needed him to die for me. I'm just as much a sinner, weak, foolish, as you. The fact that he got a job was just because the Lord felt like giving it to him. That was it. Nothing because he was special. He counted all things but dung. Everything in his life. However, the Lord and the Almighty God use you in your background, your education, your personality, your whatever you got. You're all unique and you're all wonderful. And I'm proud of every single one. But God will give you the job he wants you to do, period. End of story. And whether that job wins one, it's worth all the wealth of the world. or whether it wins 1,000, it's still worth all the wealth of the world. As long as you got the heart to seek. Paul makes a statement, verse 18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish its foolishness. To the unbeliever, the preaching of Jesus Christ on the cross is absolute garbage. What a dumb thing to believe in. It's foolishness. But unto us, which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. God has promised, I'm going to knock all their wisdom down. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. And it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Yeah, think about this. You think about the immensity of that statement. Adam betrayed God in disobedience, took a stand for the devil, thought he could overthrow and be equal with God by eating and live forever and not need the God that gave him everything. And his action cursed every single one of us, his descendants, because all men are one blood. Okay? Cursed every single one of us to die one day. That's the individual who killed us. And yet, God said, okay, if they believe the message of the Messiah, and that he is their substitute on the cross, that he'll die for them. If they will believe that message, I will give them eternal life, and I will adopt them as my sons and daughters, and they will be with me forever. Compared to what Adam did? That's why to the world, the wisdom of the world, I mean, you ought to jump through a whole bunch of hoops, climb a whole bunch of mountains. You know, what was that dumb movie I watched when I was a kid, Sinbad? And then you had to do 7 journeys through all kinds of different things in order to get win the princess back or something like that. You know, you ought to have to do some great thing to earn eternal life. By the foolishness of preaching. God so loved you that he gave his only begotten son. You believed it. You believed that God raised them from the dead. You believed that he was the sacrifice, the substitute. And the grace of God gave you eternal life, wiped away your sins. That is the power of God. And you and I believe it. You know, if I was a Baptist, I'd say, give me a hallelujah. But I ain't a Baptist. Oh, man, oh, man, oh, man. To where, in verse 20, where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where are all these people who know so much? You know, where are they? Where is the disputer of this world? Everybody wants to debate about everything. and God has made it all foolish. Verse 21, For after that the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. The whole worldly wisdom, everything that's out there. I mean, and they should. They should. You watch these beautiful documentary science programs. Some of them are eighth grade. Some of them are high school. Some of them are college level. Some of them think that they're smart. You know, but they're beautifully done. They show you intricately beautiful things in nature, in science, in space. I mean, and they can't see God. I see him everywhere. And I wonder, how do these people miss it? The fact that numbers add up. You know, Debbie was praying for a student. There's that. There's an order. There's a right and a wrong answer. That's a miracle. Verse 21, for after that the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, and it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching. He calls it the foolishness of preaching, to save them that believe. See, God really wants you to know this is by grace, guys. This is by grace. For the Jews, they require a sign. And the Greeks, they seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified. To the Jews, it is a stumbling block. Unto the Greeks, this is foolishness. But unto them which are called, those who will believe, both Jews and Greeks, this is about Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see our calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. Take a look around the room. You figure it out, if this is a true verse or not. And take a look around the rest of the... I mean, I don't glory. I mean, every single one of us has got, like I said, a gift. But we know it's not that thing that we revel in. That's not where our strength is. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world, and the things which are despised, God hath chosen, yea, the things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. That's the point. There is no man that's going to stand before God and say, I did it right, Lord. Boom. That's what you should get. But he won't even do that. No flesh. By the time you stand in front of his holiness, you're going to just melt and just say, it is by grace. I mean, that's the one thing I know for sure. When I understood justification by faith. Okay? Because every single action, it says, every single word, every idle word is going to be brought before him. And I'm going to have to give an account. So just picture it. And I've taught this many a time before. You just picture this. You're going to stand before the throne of a holy, 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 holy God. And every single action, every word, every thought, everything is going to run in front of him and you. And then I don't even want you all to see that, let alone a holy God. So, and then Jesus is going to come up after I am absolutely stripped away, because that's my flesh. That's everything about my flesh. And that flesh is not going to stand, not going to make it. And then the Lord Jesus Christ is going to say, I paid for every single one of those sins, every single one of those words, every single one of those actions and defiance and blasphemies. I paid for them all. And God is going to say, acquitted of all charges, enter into the kingdom. That is just going to be. This is not about our flesh. We're just folks. You know, like Rodney said, Dangerfield. Yeah, it's a pork chop joke. Sorry. You had to be there. It was funny back then. It says here, verse 29, no flesh should glory in his presence, but of him are you in Christ Jesus. But because of him, you are in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. That according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. And that's who we are to glory in. In the first, this first chapter, again, grace and peace unto every single one of you. You come behind in nothing. God's withheld nothing from any one of us. You are completely, completely, absolutely complete in him. You know, you choose how much you trust him without those words. You know, you can say, oh, I'm held back for something because of something in my flesh. Oh, you don't trust those words. You can do anything, be anything he says. You are what he says. You choose how much of it you believe. You know? And as you grow in life, as I've grown through the years, I have chosen to believe more and more things, and I've chosen to throw out more and more lies that I once upon a time believed. And that's just, you know, and I probably won't live long enough to get it all done. And it's okay, but I'll be doing my best on the road. You follow me? Oh. See, this gospel is bigger and better and more it's more powerful than I think any of us. I mean, if we just hone in on the power. You believe words, and God gave you eternal life. You believed words, and God gave you a spirit. He gave you wisdom, righteousness, understanding, sanctification, miracles. Because you believed words and that good news. And I, brethren, when I came unto you, chapter 2, verse 1, and I, brethren, when I came unto you, I came not to you with excellency of speech or wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. He did it really simply. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and to him crucified. I watch believers do this all the time. They start talking about the fascinating things in the scripture. You know, unique things, some things that they've been looking at for years and trying to figure out. You know what Paul did when he walked into town? Let's just talk about Christ and him crucified. I'm not saying that those other things are not nice and wonderful, and I certainly study and ask for a whole lot. But this is the meat and potatoes of the truth. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of men's wisdom. It wasn't a sales pitch. But it was in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. You know, by their fruit you know them. That's what Jesus said, right? I mean, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, more mature, should be the word. Yet not the wisdom of this world. We'll get into the deeper things of the scriptures, the wisdom of God, you know, for the more mature person. Or believe it, but that's not where you start off. You know what I mean? What do they need to know? That Jesus Christ died for them. They need to know the plan. They need to know why salvation. They need to know that this is by grace and not by works. They need to know and if you start off with, oh, do you know what, the 10,000 years and the 1,000 years of the book of Revelation, and these are the prophets and the prophecies and all this and that and the other. Did you preach Christ? Did you preach Christ? Oh, the world is going, stuff, and it's all evil and devil spirits and everything. Did you preach Christ? Or did you just stroke your own ego? Verse 7, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God before ordained before the world unto our glory. You know what that is? Which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. That's the real wisdom of God. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. That verse you ought to memorize, put in your soul, keep in your heart. Because you know what? I don't know all the answers. I haven't got all the Bible answers. I don't know how everything works. I just know who does. And I know this much, eye has not seen, nor ear has heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him. That's what's coming. But God has revealed them unto us by the Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. The Spirit that you have, it's not whatever counsel you need, he said he'll give. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. It doesn't say, I'm working on it. It doesn't say this takes forever. It says what it says. Knock and it will be opened unto you. All things work for good to them that love God. You just spend your energy loving Him. Keeping it simple. Preaching the gospel. Don't get caught up in endless debates of this and that and the other thing. And on any, you know, some once in a while, yeah, we'll, and when it's appropriate, we'll talk about all those things. But don't forget the cross. Because that's the power of God for salvation. So I love you all very much. Real blessed to be home. Really thankful to be here. You know, I was just, it's not, it wasn't yelling, at everybody in the world, not just you guys. Everybody in the world needs to remember, if we don't glory in our flesh, in our wisdom, in our thinking. It's about the Lord. It's about His word. It's about the gospel. It's about the simplicity. It's about the wisdom of God, the love that He had. Amen.